إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وبعد، إن شاء الله today we spoke about the enemies last week, and today inshallah we will discuss another two enemies if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. And these are the nafs and hawa, desire. Now, nafs itself you could translate into soul, life, nature, desire, human being. So nafs with itself, the human being is comprised of his soul. So now there's three types of nafs. One is the ammara, the one who commands, the soul that commands you to do. Now in Surah Yusuf you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ الْأَمَّارَةُ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That the lady was saying, she was saying, the wife of the Aziz, she was saying that I do not free myself from blame, but verily the soul that commands to evil, except إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, except by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَفُور رَحِيم, that He is oft forgiving, most merciful. So if you look at this statement that she's saying that I do not free myself, but verily that the soul commands to evil, because if you don't put it in check, it will command to evil. You see, this is the problem that we're facing, that we don't put our souls into check any longer. We let it command to evil. Now what she's saying, except, and this is also showing her humility and to be a humble human being, she's saying, except by the mercy of my Lord, meaning that's the only way you're going to take over this. Because when we see that we wear a certain dress, or we walk a certain way, or talk a certain thing, then we don't realize that the soul is also commanding to do a certain thing. And if we fall or capitulate to that command, then we're going to go to the lowest of low. Now this type of soul, or this ammara bisu, the one that's commanding to evil, it commands you to tell you, look, stealing it's cool. Take a little bit off, no problem. Take a $5, $10, $1,000, $2,000, whatever it is, stealing in any way is forbidden. But what it states is that, go ahead, it's cool. It's the way to do things. No problem, they're not going to feel anything. We're just going to, because they're rich, so we might as well get something from it. We don't have a Robin Hood syndrome where we steal from the rich and give it to the poor. We demand justice from the rich and we give it to the poor. But we don't do things that actually darken our characters. Now, this type of soul also commands you to cheat. How to cheat? You become a person that's always involved in cheating, always conniving, doing something that's fishy, that we can't put a finger on. So it keeps telling you to go ahead, commands you to cheat, and then it orders you to lie on top of that. So once you're cheating, you become a liar. So the soul keeps telling you, go ahead. That's very good, because now that you've cheated, you have to lie. And now that you have lied, you have to lie again on top of that lie to cover that lie. They say one lie, you have to say 1,000 lies in order to cover that lie. That's why it's good to say the truth from the beginning, rather than lying continuously. And then you are known by the people anyway, because people are not dumb. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who lies, from the foul stench of their odor from their mouth because of their lying, that the angels run away miles from them. And this soul also commands you to curse. Because if the soul is not put in check, then you will let a few curses out now and then, and you will be habitual in cursing. That's why you see Muslims coming right after Jummah prayers, and in different languages, if you know their languages, they're cursing. And this is something that I've experienced right after Jummah prayers, that people are cursing. And they think that you don't understand their language, and they keep cursing. Very vile and despicable things. And they're doing it in a very jocative manner, and thinking that this is something that we should be doing. So the soul is commanding to that because we have become accustomed to cursing. And also another type of curse is that we start cursing other things around us. Damn this thing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not even ride on a camel that was cursed. He said, I don't want to ride on this camel because you have cursed it. So we should not be cursing things all the time, because this is, becomes like a dua for the thing itself. So this soul also tells you to backbite. It's very easy to backbite somebody. Sit behind them and just you can say all the things you like, and you can keep backbiting them. It tells you, go ahead, have a girlfriend, have a boyfriend, because the soul is not in check. It also tells you not to read the Book of Allah, because not reading the Book of Allah, there's no way to check the soul. Because if you come to the Book of Allah, then you will have some kind of pressure within yourself to, after reading the Book of Allah, obviously you cannot go and drink, obviously you cannot go and do things that are haram, obviously you cannot go to the discotheque, so you will feel some kind of shame within yourself in order to check it. So now nobody is reading the Quran, very little people are coming to the Book of Allah, even in their homes for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And this is what we have to get back to the basics. We're not telling you to become mu'mineen overnight, Muhsineen, the people of excellence, but we're telling you that you need to get there someday, that you have to start trekking on that track. You have to actually take that step to go there. And what are those steps? And they're very difficult, because you have to work towards those steps. Now, it tells you also that smoking is alright, and it's not alright. We just had one news of a brother that he was smoking a lot, and now he has very aggressive cancer in his throat, and he has all his life to live for. Just finishing his studies to the top of level, dunyawi studies. And he has everything to give. And now this cancer is very, very aggressive in the lymph node, in the bone marrow. And people are still smoking. And you tell them, Yaqi, look, this is a very good brother who is now facing this, has to go through chemotherapy, has to go through radiation. Stop smoking. Stop putting that poison in your system. And you keep telling you day in and day out, and they're just dumbfounded to say, well, it's alright, okay, it won't happen to me. And this syndrome of won't happen to me, this is why the soul is always commanding, won't happen to me, so you can work for all your millions and so on and so forth. And it's a slow suicide. How are you going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, yes Allah, I knew that it was directly related to cancers, it was directly related to killing me slowly, but I did make a suicide. How are you going to answer on the day of judgment that you corrupted the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you? So it tells you to do that. He tells you to go ahead and smoke some drugs, get away from your problems. The problems won't be solved with drugs. Huh? You think that the problems will be solved? You think that taking marijuana will be solved? And this is what's happening with the youth. We think, oh, why is he talking about that? We need to talk about that, because without exaggeration, at least 70% of our youth that are going downtown are smoking marijuana, weed, or some kind of drugs that they're doing, without exaggeration. Or they have tried it, or they're going to try it, or they're still doing it. And some of them from there go into crack cocaine, and then they can't get out, because that drug mostly kills you. Statistics, what do they say? 90%, close to 90% of the people, just destroys their life and all, destroys them at the end. Because that's what happened. And then people are justifying, oh, just a little weed, because the Jamaicans, they use it for cleaning their hair. Yeah, they use it for cleaning their hair, they don't use it for ingesting it. So if you're taking the leaves to clean your hair, that's something different. But don't justify the shaitanic act with cleaning of the hair or putting into soap or something like that. So we are using those things, and then we are going into alcohol after that. Because what happens? Once you smoke, you get into that environment. Once you smoke drugs, then you get into another environment. And then within that environment, then you have to take all the other ills that are also there also. Then it's alcohol after that. So what else will you stop at? Because the soul keeps commanding for you to do those things. And it also commands you to be stingy. Somebody's in problem, tells you be stingy. You know, I got to look after myself. I can't, everybody be damned. I have to look after myself. This is the idea of the human being who's become stingy. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, perchance, that the believer can be bakhil, can be stingy, but he can't be a liar. So now we have a lot of liars and we have a lot of people who are stingy. We are struggling to even help out some brothers and sisters because day in and day out we keep struggling. The Jummah camp is not that full. There everyone is talking about their own glory while people are suffering even right in front of our eyes in our community, and we can't do anything about it. Because why? Because of stinginess. So the soul commands you to be stingy, and it also commands you to show off. But look at me, how great I am. I am the man on the block. I can't do no wrong. I am the person who has no faults, but everyone else has them. So this kind of soul is the soul that actually commands you to evil, and we should actually put it in check before we go into the next level. Now, Ibn Umar, he said, if I could know for certain that Allah had accepted one of my prostrations, there would be no long lost friend dearer to me than death itself. Than death itself. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was the most meticulous in following the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bending his head when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bent, driving his camel around the spot where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to drive it. He used to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so meticulously. Now what has happened is that because he's following this way, he's saying that if only one of my prostrations were accepted, there would be no dearer friend than death itself. Now, how many of our prostrations are accepted? How do we pray? Absent-minded. Our thoughts are totally somewhere else. How do we make better in dunya? Oh, who's sending me a bill? Oh, what's happening? How do I look just after myself? That's why the deen, it's for people who take hold of the deen. In tansurullah yansurukum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, that you help Allah's cause, Allah will help you, and plant your feet firmly. Why firmly? Because you need to be firm. Shaky people, unbalanced people, never do any good in this life or never do anything good in the hereafter. Now Imam Ahmad, he related a hadith from Umar, who related that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the intelligent person is the one who brings himself to account and acts in preparation for what lies beyond his death. And the foolish person is the one who abandons himself to his desires, cravings, and expects that Allah to fulfill his futile wishes. That we expect Allah to fulfill all our wishes, yet we do nothing for something that is coming after our lives are finished, and we don't know when it's going to be finished. Asadullah alayhi rahmatullah, he was a very good friend of ours. He was the best in our community. He was only 23 years old, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. And his father is still in pain from that accident. He has bloating from water, he's going through difficulty, it's been a year now that he's going through that. And how many people have even called to say, how are you doing? Your son used to be a part of our community, and that he used to be a part of us, and we used to enjoy him. He was one of the best of us. But yet, because he's gone, he's out of sight and he's out of mind, we don't pray for him, and we don't even ask for his father, who's left, actually, he can't even mobilize himself. And how many people have visited? And how many people have called? Especially the ones who used to know him. How many people just called to say, uncle, is there anything to do? So what is happening is that we don't do anything to prepare ourselves for the things to come after. It's only for the glory of I and me. This is what this soul is telling us. It's I and myself. And this is the only thing that I care about. Me, me, me. I'm hungry, so I need to fill myself. But my brother is hungry, it really doesn't matter to me. I will delay that. I will not give that $5. I will not give that $10. I will delay it. And every one of us falls into that boat. So the intelligent person is the one who brings himself to account. So what have I done in this life? How many prayers have I said with understanding? How many surahs that I have memorized? How many things that I have come to do in order to bring myself to account on this day? Because it's going to end one day. Every day that ends, do you think we get younger? Do you think that every day that goes by, do you think you get younger? We were just the other day just roaming around with our mother and fathers looking after us, and now we have kids. And do you think our mother and fathers went away? And do you think our kids will not look at us and say, yes, oh, dear father is gone and dear mother is gone, may Allah have mercy on them? But what have we done that we can say that, yes, we can go and left something behind for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What have you done? You have to make yourself into account. Umar radiallahu anhu, who was Khalifa of half the world, he used to account for himself in the night time what he has done, weigh his good actions and his bad actions. And there was nothing but good from Umar. Nothing but good from Umar radiallahu anhu. And so the foolish person is the one, he abandons himself to his desires, his craving. Oh yes, I come into this land. Oh, I was restricted in Saudi Arabia. I was restricted in Morocco. But now I can come. Even those places are no longer restricted. But now I come and now I can live and do as the Romans do, because this is my philosophy. Then go ahead. And all of a sudden they get the AIDS virus, HIV. They get herpes. They get some disease. They get gonorrhea. They get all these things. And it's happening to the Muslim youth. Who else is it happening to? And the parents think, and this is the disparity in the dress code, because the woman is dressed with hijab, and she's coming from a quote-unquote conservative culture, which is really nonsensical, because they put everything into categories. And then their daughters come in and grow up here, and it's totally as though she's on a runway model on the strips of New York, some platform on a fashion district. And this is, and they're walking together, and sometimes you see, subhanAllah, what happened? Effect of the environment and not the upbringing of the parents. The parents didn't upbring them. The house has to be Islamic from within. You can't expect the house to be corrupted and expect the girls to grow up right. You can't be saying that I'm going on the right track and then you're turning left and right and think you're going to get to the same place. That's not somebody that's intelligent speaks like that. So we fall into those cravings, we fall into those desires, and expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our futile wishes. I wish to have a mansion, I wish to be having lots of loads of money, and this is what we're always wishing to, rather than wishing to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the source of all contentment. So this is one part of the nafs. And the second part of the nafs command, it's lawama, the reproachful self. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة, that he swears by the day of judgment and by the soul that is reproachful, that it comes back, that it often changes. It's constantly changing because it's reproaching itself all the time. Therefore, some brothers and sisters say, why did I do this thing? I feel bad about it, because the soul is now reproaching itself. You've gone to a different level. It keeps changing. Oh, what did I do it? Why did I do it? Why did I slander that person? You feel bad. After backbiting somebody for 2 hours, you feel bad. If you've taken somebody's money unlawfully, you feel bad. If you've hurt somebody's feeling, you feel bad. And if you haven't done anything for your brothers and sisters, you feel bad. And then you start to say, well, how do I change that? So the example is that we have to try to get this reproachful self, lawama, to in order to change for the better. Now Ibn Mubarak, radiallahu anhu, rahimullah, he said that someone said to him, Ya Zahid, meaning a person of zuhud, person who is staying away from this life. Look at his answer. Look at his answer, because he's reproaching himself. That's Ibn Mubarak, who used to be the biggest in piety. Look what he said. He said, the real Zahid, the one who is staying away from this dunya, is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. For he rejected the tremendous pleasures and riches of this world that they were placed at his feet, whereas I have very little to give up. Look at the maqam of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. We know what he did. We know what he said. We know how close he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know what he did for the deen. But he said, look, I'm not the Zahid. Don't call me Zahid. But call Umar bin Abdul Aziz, because he had all those riches and he kicked them. He said, I don't need them. And he used to have the finest horses, Umar bin Abdul Aziz. And he got off one day off of it and he left it, because he was commanding himself. So the soul that commands. And this is the soul that keeps changing. So make sure when it's commanding you to do something good, grasp it. And then the third part is mutma'inna, that the soul becomes contented. Ya ayyutuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, that this soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O soul that is contented, irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya, that come to your Lord contented, because Lord, the Lord of the universe, is contented with you. That this soul is content, that the soul has no other object of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what our brothers and sisters are facing in all our lands. In Palestine, some of them are eating dirt, some of them are just living on za'atar and bread alone, stale bread, and just worrying about when their family members are going to be shot. But their souls are content. That's why you see the happiness. One of the Christians who went there, and he said, I couldn't believe that people were still smiling on the street, that they were still greeting each other. And on the other side, I couldn't imagine the anxiety and fear with all those armaments and all those tanks and all those bullets and F-16s and all those planes that bombard human beings. He said, I couldn't believe it, that these poor people who have been sent into refugee camps, and on the refugee camps it states that it's cheaper to kill them. This is the plight of our brothers and sisters. What do we say? Huh? What do we say? We say nothing, because we have nothing to say. We do nothing, because we have nothing to do. This is our plight. Why? Because we can't even look after the brothers and sisters who are suffering in this community. So those people are content, because they're going to the masjid, they're praying, because they know their life is very precarious. It could go any minute, somebody just come and shoot them for not doing any terrorism, but just being, he's a Palestinian, he's just at the age of 28, 30, shoot him, that's it. Because he has done no other wrong except to be just born. So what is this God-given right? To be shot with a bullet? This is our degradation. This is our problem. Don't blame the Yahud and the Nasara. Don't blame these people. Don't blame the Jews. Don't blame the Christians. Blame yourselves. Because we are the problems, brothers and sisters. If you really look at the problem, we are the problems. Why are we blaming these people? They give us a country to come in and worship as we want. Yes, they spy and do all those things. But overall, the freedom is much greater than in our countries. Why are we blaming them? We should blame ourselves, because it's from our own sickness that we're coming. Now this soul, mutma'inna, that's contented, it's from ihsan. أَنْ تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That as though you worship Allah as though He sees you, know that you worship Allah as though you see Allah, but know that you don't see Allah, but know that He sees you. You see, this is the maqam of the muhsin. The one who sees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly watching him, and he's vigil of that, and he is cognizant that Allah is ever watching him. And this is how you get the word hasana, to make beautiful, because the soul of the muhsin is very beautiful, because it's not corrupted with all this. He has conquered the amara, the soul that commands. And he has conquered the lawama, the reproachful self, and he has become content. Content with what? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the real riches, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated. Now, just to end inshallah, encapsulate, there were 3 degrees to the soul, there's a lot more. But also hawa is connected to the soul, because it's from desire that we do these things. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, he said that مَا يَنْتِقُوا عَنِ الْهَوَى, that he does not speak from hawa, he does not speak from his inclination, he does not speak from his desire. Meaning this revelation is not something that was desired by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now when the attack of the Quran is there, where are the people defending the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where are the Muslims who are defending the book of Allah? Because it's being called evil, despicable, vile, all the names, all the dirty names is being called in newspapers and everything. Where are the people that are defending the book of Allah? Because it can defend itself. But where are the people? Or if somebody asks a question, I don't know, oh well, it shouldn't be like this. You have to find out. You have to research. That's why you become an engineer. Because you become an engineer. Why you become an engineer? So if somebody asks you an engineering question, you will be able to answer it. If you become a computer scientist, you have to have knowledge of computer science in order to answer it. Why don't you learn something about the deen and defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's only a few minutes of the day that you can do so. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not speak from his hawa, but he spoke from revelation, from wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. That's why they were so worried. Did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam die? No, he didn't die. That's all they wanted to know in any battle that he was in. Was he injured? What happened to the Messenger of Allah? Your father died, your uncle died, your son. What happened to the Messenger of Allah? Because there was a connection between Allah and him. Wahi. And this was dear to them. That's why they were such great people. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْمَعُونَ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى إِذَا خَرَجُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قَالُوا لِلَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا. That when they hear you, until they leave, and they say to the people of knowledge, what was he saying? مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا. What was he saying? What was that? This is the stance of the hypocrite. This is the stance of the munafiq. And this is what they used to say. They used to listen to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, what was he saying? What was that? Meaning just belittling it. And nowadays when we propound a hadith, or we say the hadith is like this, and the sharh of it, and the explanation from Imam al-Nawawi is like that, and this is the common understanding of this hadith, they belittle it. And they don't even understand the mustalahat, the classification of a hadith. They don't understand anything, but they belittle it. What was he saying? We fall into that same category. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاهُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stamped their heart. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stamped their heart because they follow their desires. Because this is from desire. مَاذَا قَالَ آنِفًا. What was he saying? Because you're saying this from your desire, not from any real knowledge. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that in the Quran, because this is the nature of the hypocrite will always be there. We're no one to judge. There is no Khalifa radiallahu anhu here to know the secrets of the hypocrite. We're no one to judge. But at the same time, you know their characteristics. They will say, what was that? Well, which verse was he saying? What was the ayah? Because you just want to belittle it. So this is how the desire comes into play. So if you want your soul to be good, that's not wanting to be commanded to evil. If you want your soul not to be twisting and turning because of lawama, it keeps on telling you to do something, then you keep reproaching it, which is at least better than the one that's amarat bisu, that it keeps commanding you to evil. But then you want to be mutmain, that you want to be contented with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because verily the hearts are contented, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with dhikrillah, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many people make tafakkur, how long are we going to live in this life, and how many days that we're going to spend in this sojourn that we call this never-ending life, because it ends. I don't know why we call it never-ending, because have you seen anyone that doesn't end with death itself? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to become a people who love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who become a people who love their communities, their brothers and sisters, whether here, whether abroad, and who try to correct their souls in a very good way. Not trying to be bigoted people, not trying to be looking down on people, not trying to be condescending, not having a myopic vision about the deen. The deen is very expansive. And we should stop giving fatwas around, because there's no mufti here. So we should actually try to bring the people in towards goodness rather than taking them away with all these little discrepancies that we keep arguing over. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq for that, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a people who actually rise to the level of ihsan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us. Ameen.